Live on Fireside.
Live from Joe's mom's basement, it's the Stacking Benjamin Show. I'm Joe's mom's cousin Diana, and I really need to know, does your spending align with what you really care about? Today, we'll share a tool used by top coaches around the world and apply it to your money. To quote Jerry Maguire and help me help you, let's welcome the author of the new book, Personal Finance and Investing, How Anyone Can Make More, Spend Less, and Invest Wisely, Kyle Landis Marinello. And from the Afford Anything podcast, it's Paula Pant. And finally, from LenPenzo.com, it's Leonardo DiCaprio. Nah, he's busy starring in just about every other funny meme on Instagram. So today it's just Len Penzo. But that's not all. Today I will share some amazing trivia halfway through this show. But for now, a guy whose wheels are turning thanks to the one hamster that's still moving up there, Joe Saul Sehy. I was so nervous about pronouncing Kyle's name wrong that I think I did pronounce it wrong. And then I also pronounced your name wrong, Joe.
That is so awesome, Diana. Diana Spav, for people listening to the show, not live with us, spent the last 15 minutes trying to get our special guest name right. And then butchers mine. Hey, everybody. Contrary to what Diana says, I'm Joe Saul Sehy, Average Joe Money on Twitter. But my uncle, Diana, calls me Joel, and he's known me since I'm born. So you and I have only known each other for a couple of years. So that's not bad. You're doing all right.
It's always fun to have a nickname.
How are you, by the way?
I'm fantastic. Happy to be here.
Well, you know what's cool is that we are so happy that we get to kick off coming in November. We get to help you kick off your economy conference. And Gertrude on our team looked at the ticket sales this morning. It looks like already that room is about a third full. So if you want to, if you want to get in, go to economyconference.com and sign up for the conference. And then there's a special extra ticket that you can add on for us the night before. We're kicking off the night before, but you've got a lot of other people coming. Some guy with a mustache is coming.
Oh yeah. And actually our very own Paula Pant here as well. So we are closing out the economy conference on Saturday with a panel. And the theme of this panel, if you think about the tagline to the event, is provocative speakers exploring a new American dream. So we are collecting provocative questions from our dear audience to present to our panel. So it's going to be you. We've got Paula. We've got Mr. Money Mustache. We've got Kirsten Saunders. J.D. Roth is moderating. It's going to be an amazing panel in addition to all the great main stage speakers we have. So it's going to be one hell of a party. People just need to go grab their ticket.
Yeah, the dates again are November what? 12th is the live show. 13th, 14th is the conference, right?
Absolutely. At the University of Cincinnati.
Yeah. And get your tickets to the live show and to the conference before we sell out, because it's moving fast, which is really cool.
It sure is.
Well, somebody that I've thought is a provocative speaker for a long, long time. Provocative speaker. Paula Pant's here.
Yeah, I was going to say, I will be sure to say something incredibly provocative while I'm there. I don't know what, but I will be sure to say something provocative.
Well, I think at least one personal finance guru thinks you're a pot stirrer. So why not add more people to that?
Ooh, are you referring to begins with the S and rhymes with?
Yes, I don't even want to go where that rhymes.
Yeah,
that goes nowhere quick. You mean Susie Orman? Is that who we're talking about?
Yes.
Yeah, I do think so. But how are you? You doing well?
I am. I'm doing well. I'm doing absolutely well.
Excellent. And a guy who's doing well and who might see the sun today might not. Deep under Los Angeles, it's Len Penzo.
Joe, how are you, my friend?
I am doing well. And a guy I'm super happy is here, my friend from Vermont that I wish I met when I was there and I did not. He's the author of the new book, Personal Finance Investing, How Anyone Can Make More, Spend Less, and Invest Wisely. Kyle Landis Marinello joins us.
Hey, Joe. It's great to be here. And now you just have an excuse to come back to Vermont.
I do. And as if I need an excuse. I love your state. I get why you live there, man. It is incredible.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
So tell everybody about the book, because, and I love, by the way, where you start out. You start out with, you really can retire relatively early. I guess that's addressed to people who pick this up because they don't think they can.
Yeah, I think that a lot of people get intimidated by the notion of retiring early for a number of reasons. And so one of the things I do in my book is I try to dissuade people of the idea that you have to make millions, you have to do everything right to be able to retire early. And I mentioned the idea of retiring relatively early to signify that no matter where you are, everyone can make choices today that will improve their finances and set them up for becoming financially independent and retiring earlier than they would if they kept on the track they're on now.
Well, and part of, I know what you talk about here is making sure that your money is aligned with everything you do. So we picked this topic, Kyle, specifically because you were here and I was hoping that you really were going to be excited by it.
I am. Yeah, I appreciate that. And so I definitely agree with aligning your values with where you put your money, and actually have a lot in the book in the investing section about socially responsible investing. And there are now a lot of low fee index funds that provide for socially responsible options also.
Yeah, I totally agree. People are 10 years behind on where socially responsible investing is today.
Yeah. So yeah. I try to highlight that. And I have a lot of stories in the book about my dad and the money mistakes that he made, just to bring some entertainment value to it. And also just to let people know, you know, everyone makes mistakes with money. And my dad is one of the smartest people I know, and I love him dearly. He went to Harvard at the age of 16, and yet he made just about every money mistake you can imagine. And so I have a lot of anecdotes in there about some of those stories. And it tries to keep people entertained the same way the book that you and Emily Guy Birkin have written. Because people are only learned if they're being entertained and paying attention to it. It's my theory.
I absolutely loved it as I went through it. You talk about learning more and about your trip to San Francisco Bay when you were 10 years old to visit your uncle and family. And I'm just going to leave that story there for everybody. That's just going to be bait to go read the book. It's a great time. There is a lot of great stories. But we got Kyle here. We got Len here. We got Paula. We got Diana. We're going to talk about aligning your values with your money. But first, this episode is sponsored by State Farm. You a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Well, look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers. They're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
If you've ever tried to buy a car, you know what a frustrating experience it can be. Sitting across from a dealer, they don't want to talk about the price of the car. They want to talk about payments. You might not even want to talk about financing. You just want to get to the bottom line. And if you're buying it from an individual, you might not know where the car's been. The person tells you that it's in pristine condition, but is it really? Is that rattle more than just a little rattle? Well, guess what? When you become a member of Navy Federal Credit Union, life gets better. Buying a car has never been easier because they've created this fully loaded car buying experience. You can buy, finance if you need to, protect and enjoy your auto purchase all through one convenient place. Speaking of financing, they have low rates and pre-approval good for 90 days. So while you're shopping, you'll know exactly what you can afford. And when it comes to that price of a car, well, you'll save thousands off MSRP with Navy Federal's car buying service powered by TrueCar. I said you will. It really is you can, and I did. You can also get exclusive member savings with Carfax, so you'll know where that car's been. Geico, when you insure it. SiriusXM for fun. They're always available with 24/7 member service representatives to answer any questions. Learn more at NavyFederal.org/car buying. That's NavyFederal.org/car buying. Credit and collateral subject to approval. Your actual savings off MSRP may vary. Navy Federal Credit Union is federally insured by NCUA. All right, guys, let's get this party started. Today's piece comes to us from a blog that I have never been to before, which is called Making Your Money Matter. It's written by Catherine Hanna, who is a certified public accountant. She says she's a wife, mother of three, and she loves to budget, which is somebody who's after a lot of our money nerd friends' heart. But this piece is called Your Spending, Your Life. And she talks about how Vicki Robbins' book, Your Money or Your Life, is one of her favorites. And it had the biggest impact on her financial journey. Paul, I know you're somebody that read Your Money or Your Life, right?
I absolutely loved that book.
Yeah, and your big takeaway from that book?
Well, essentially, the question is take like, 150 pages of wisdom and condense it down into a sound
bite. Right, exactly. Yeah.
And that's difficult to do. But if made to do it, I suppose I would say that the takeaway is that money doesn't, and this might sound obvious to people who listen to this show or who listen to personal finance podcasts, but money doesn't just exist in a vacuum. Money is a representation of everything you hold dear.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would say for me, the big takeaway was you're trading hours of your life for these decisions you make with your money. So make the decisions worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And a way to do that, that Catherine here points to, and that a coach of mine, I've had the same coach for probably close to 20 years. I haven't thought about exactly the number of years, but my coach, Mary Lou, has used with me, and a lot of the most effective coaches that I know use, is something called the wheel. And the wheel is a way to look at all the different parts of your life. And by the way, if you want to follow along, we have a wheel for you. It's absolutely free. We just knew that we're going to get into the weeds here a little bit. So it's stackingbenjamins.com/wheel if you'd like to follow along with our discussion. If not, just think of a wheel, and there's 8 different parts, and they're each equal pie parts of this wheel. And the 8 parts of the wheel that Catherine talks about and my coach about twice a year talks about with me are these: your business and your career, your money, your health, your friends and family, love and romance, personal development, fun and relaxation, and personal and spiritual growth. And the reason it's a wheel is because each of these represent fairly consistent parts of your life. Now, there can be different people are going to emphasize different pieces of their life, but it's a way to look at all of them because most of us tend to focus just on one piece. Len, have you ever seen this wheel concept before today? Because my coach, before she showed it to me, I'd never seen it before.
I'll take fun and relaxation for $200.
Absolutely. That's the one I want. I want to score a 10 in that area. Had you seen this before?
Not related to personal finance, but I mean, we do these kind of things in engineering all the time. So, I mean, we have these kind of, we call them spider graphs, or at least I call them spider graphs. But yeah, and I got so excited when you sent this to me today, and I was so proud of it. I sent it out to all of you guys. That's how excited I got about the dumb thing. But, and it's not a dumb thing actually, because it really reveals so much information in one spot, and it's easy to see as well when you plot it out.
Kyle, had you seen this before?
I had not. No, this was entirely new to me, but I had fun working on it.
Yeah, it is a really good time. Let's talk about your strengths. First of all, when you did the wheel, first of all, the way to do this wheel, we're going to do this twice. The first thing is to look at the 8 areas of your life and rate each one of these on a scale of 1 to 10. Paula, we'll start with you. Where did you score the highest right now? Where are you happiest with your life when it comes to these 8 areas?
Happiest with friends and family.
Okay. How come?
I think I don't want to say post COVID, but once people became vaccinated, there was this resurgence in enthusiasm for hanging out, for spending time with one another. Like once that the ability to do that was taken away from us for, and we were all isolated for 15 months, people just seem, at least in my friend and family circles, seem very excited about spending time together. So I've been doing a lot of that.
Do you feel like you've nurtured that area and that's why you're, it's going well for you?
Yeah, it's high priority for me right now. Like, you know, whereas before people sometimes paint time with friends and family as like a distraction, you know, like, oh, you've got all these goals, but you're just hanging out with your friends all the time.
Right.
Right. But like, I think what COVID really brought to light was hanging out with your friends is important. It's maybe the single most important thing that you do.
Kyle, for you, which one scored the highest?
For me, it was a tie between a few of them, but I guess personal development and personal and spiritual growth. But I'm basing that 100% on the fact that for the first time in my life, I've been consistently meditating. I'm doing it completely wrong, but at least I'm sticking with it, hoping at some point it'll work out.
Why has meditation gotten you so far?
So this actually comes from my dad. He's always meditated for, I think, at least an hour every morning. And he swears by it. And I've read a lot of the research about how much it does to improve your life. And so that's convinced me it's something I really need to be doing. And so I'm trying it. But boy, I am a type A personality. And the idea of quieting my mind for 15 minutes twice a day is about as challenging as anything can get.
I have found for me, it's funny that you bring this up today because I've really felt with some things that have happened in the last few days in my life that I really needed some centering. And I always find that for me, meditating on Eastern philosophy really, really helps. And for me also being a type A personality, instead of that quieting my mind completely, just focusing on one of these verses from Eastern philosophy really is incredibly, incredibly helpful. Have you seen any change in your life so far?
I would like to say yes, but the honest answer is not yet, but I'm hoping if I hang in there, I'll feel it. Or maybe I'm just not noticing, which is probably what my partner would say, because she likes to point out that I don't tend to notice anything. And so I'll chalk it up to that my life is incredibly improved and much better. I just haven't noticed it yet.
Yeah. But you still feel like the investment has been worth the time, which is why you rate those high.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. Len, how about you? Where did you score highest?
Gosh, I'm with Kyle. I was in the same two high scoring ones was personal and spiritual growth and personal development. I gave myself tens and nines on the scale there.
And are you investing time also in that area like Kyle is?
Well, I just, you know, I don't get into the meditation thing, but just life and trying to, you know, do self-reflection and, you know, put a lot of thought and planning. And it's something that has been happening, you know, as you get older, us older guys, Joe.
Easy.
Know, but as you get older, I think as you do that, especially if you've been doing it at a younger age, I mean, you kind of, hopefully you've kind of got to a point in life where you're satisfied with where you're at or where you're, I mean, you can always get better, but, you know, you don't feel like I really am lacking in some area. I'm completely satisfied in both of those points.
Do you have a system then of how you do it? Because with Kyle, I think meditation is just a system, right? Do you think about these things first thing in the morning? Do you go on walks? I mean, is there some systematic approach that people can glean from why you rate it so highly?
You know, I don't know. I just, you know, you go on walks, you think about things, you sit and you meditate, not meditate, like
yeah,
Kyle's doing, but you just sit and think about things. And I mean, you just do it over time, Joe. And it's just kind of an organic thing that just happens. And I don't know what to say other than, you know, I've just come to I'm happy with where I'm at. I do self-reflect every day about how I can, you know, what can I do better or what can I change or do I want to change something? But, you know, after many, many years of this, I'm extremely satisfied. So there, it's just, I don't know.
Let's turn to the area that you're least happy with. Paula, where do you think you should be spending more time? Where did you rate yourself the lowest?
The lowest rating that I gave myself was personal spirituality.
How come?
I'm not putting any time or effort into it.
Yeah. I mean, but do you give it a low grade because of the fact that you feel like you should be?
No, just more of an honest assessment that that's not where my focus is at the moment.
Well, so and that's actually interesting, because the second half of this, when we start talking about your money, is that even though that's a low number, doesn't mean you have to address it, right? It doesn't mean that it's a big factor for you. And for you, do you think about any of the downsides of that, though, about not focusing in that area?
I mean, and this is where the compartmentalization might get a little, too strict. Because
yeah.
I would argue that the time that I'm spending with friends and family is, in some ways, a spiritual or at least a meaningful activity.
Yeah. Yeah. That they overlap. I agree with that too. Exactly. I had problems. As an example, Cheryl, my spouse, is also my best friend. So friends and family versus love and romance. Like, there was a big cross over there for me. Len, how about you? Where did you rate yourself the lowest?
Well, actually, health, and love and romance.
Ah, so did you? I didn't
this
mean
just to, turned into a marriage counseling session.
I did not mean to be so, like that. That got awkward very quickly. When it comes to those two, like, what do you think you need to do to improve those, or do you want to improve those? Is it more like Paula, where you don't care?
Yeah, it's more like Paula.
No romance for you?
Not that don't care. But it's satisfaction. You know, I rated that in the both of them. They're in the middle. And it's like plus or minus either way. I mean, it's at a level, good spot. But maybe some need for doing a little more. For example, I haven't been with the COVID thing. You haven't been able to travel. Haven't been able to go. I know the honeybee and I, we like to go to Hawaii every year, but we haven't done that because of the COVID thing in 2 years now. So, and that's one of the things that, you know, I miss really badly. You know, it's stuff like that. You can't go and do things. You can, but I'm not willing to go through the hassles that are required to do that kind of thing in that area.
Yeah.
And in the health area, I could be a healthier person than I am right now. So, I mean, I'm not totally,
you're still a buff guy.
Health, but,
you're still
but,
a buff yeah. guy.
what I need to do is I need to start going to the gym and really working out and putting a little more effort into. Right now I've been doing easy stuff, you know, lifting small weights at home and stuff like that. But I need to put a little more effort into it. So that's one area where I need to focus.
It's funny for me, when it came to love and romance, I found those are times when my career was really taking precedent or was really taking a front seat. And I realized that I wasn't paying any attention to my spouse. I was just paying no attention. I was so focused on one area. And that's what the doing this twice a year really helped me do, was go, oh man, I am messing up bad. So, and with health, I think with health too, you know, it can get out of hand as well. Kyle, how about you? The areas that you rate yourself lowest?
Yeah. Well, I had fun and relaxation as the place where I needed to work the most on. But I recognize that's kind of a self-serving thing to mark as my lowest rated.
But is that just a guilt complex that achiever, you say you're a type A personality, Kyle. I mean, as an achiever, do you feel guilty about spending time on yourself, on fun and relaxation?
Yes. That's a fair way to summarize it. Yeah. And yeah, it's just, there's always something more to do. And I work long hours at my job, and I then end up spending free time doing things like writing a book. And I've got 3 kids at home, still quite young. And so there's just always a lot to do, and fun and relaxation tends to be last on the list.
It's funny, my coach would tell you that if you don't get some fun and relaxation, it comes about in other ways, right? All of a sudden you just find that you're spacing out at work, or you're not like you don't need that time because you deserve it. You need it because you have to have it. But I think looking at all of these really, really is helpful. When it comes to looking at your values, in the second half here, we're going to talk about your money and tying your money to it. But when it comes to looking at your values, Paula, when you were going through this exercise, did you think of anything that you would like to change as you assign these numbers?
No, not really, honestly. You know,
I'm good.
Yeah. I mean, I think that my priorities are not, they've shifted in the past several years. And so I've probably spent a decent amount of time thinking about what's important because of the fact that, I've been aware of the shift.
I feel like that. Spending time with you lately, I feel like you think about this type of stuff a lot more than the average person.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank
you. Yeah. Like you definitely, like, as I think about that, Len, how about you?
No, not, I'm pretty,
you know, boy, this is great.
Well, wait, no, but no, I think you can learn from this. When you look at this chart, right, what's very interesting is what's really cool about these, I call them spider charts or spider web charts. It looks like when you plot, it looks like a spider web. And the veins on this thing, if everything's, you know, jagged, if all the lines are jagged, then you're probably out of balance in certain areas, right? Well, when I look at mine, my spider web, it looks like a square. It's almost square.
No.
Which tells me that you know, I don't feel out of balance in anything. And I mean, that's genuine. You know, maybe there's a few areas that I might want to put a little more emphasis in, which I've already talked about, but really I'm happy. I'm satisfied and I'm comfortable where I'm at. But like we said, we'll talk about the next segment. That doesn't mean that I can't improve on how I allocate my money for those things.
And that'll be a second big key to this. You know, my personal development, I actually feel like I'm a 10 right now in personal development. Frankly, I think I'm an 11 and I think I'm spending too much time there. Like I need to back off there so that other things can occur.
Okay. So let me bring the, okay. So then, okay. Now that you put it that way. So I will say this in the money area, for me, I think I've been going gung-ho on that as I get near here, the retirement coming right around the corner. I've been gung-ho and maybe too much so in that area. So
yeah. Yeah. That's really what this did for me that time. Same type of thing where I'm like, you know what? I don't really need to be as jacked up about this as I am. Kyle, how about you?
You know, friends and family was an area where I had that valued the highest of everything on my chart. But then when I thought of, how I'm doing on it, it scores much lower. And so I'm thinking of what Len said earlier about the importance of getting as much time as you can with your kids because it goes by really quickly. I know that's a place that I've got some improvements to make.
Well, and I know, Kyle, that for men especially, you look at the number of men in their 40s and 50s who express as they move into their career and kids are starting to move away from home, loneliness, you know, and not having friendships, like spending time with friends also. And that's hard to balance when you have three kids and a job that sounds like it's as demanding as yours is.
Yeah, no, I think there is something in the culture that you always have to have an excuse to get together with someone. There doesn't tend to be just, hey, let's just spend some time together. It's always let's do book club or something else that only happens once in a while.
Well, now, I got to tell you guys that I feel like the hopeless romantic over here in the corner as I'm listening to where everybody ranks. Because when I looked at this list, definitely the highest for me would be love and romance.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Do tell.
They make them different out here in the Midwest. I like to call him my Midwestern gentleman. And, you know, my love language is acts of service. And he is just really stepping it up. So I got to tell you, last weekend, this is kind of sad, but he was walking my dog for me, act of service. And my dog got attacked by a German Shepherd, like 10 minutes from my house. And this dog like ripped into my dog. I mean, he's laying next to me right now with the cone of shame on. He gets his stitches out on Thursday. But my boyfriend, Brad, like had to beat off this dog. Like he like saved. I couldn't imagine if it was like me and Brad just like stepped up and, you know, saved my dog. So I'm just very love drunk right now over my amazing boyfriend for saving my baby.
That's a great place to be. But where did you rate the lowest, Diana?
I rated the lowest on health and personal and spiritual growth. But for me, it's like those two areas, I'm a very all or nothing person. So like even when you were talking about personal development, I don't even think there's too much focus could be put on personal development, because I really see it affecting every area of your life. Like, if you're your best self, that's going to bleed into how you, you know, take care of your money, how you interact with your friends and family, how you relax and have fun, how you run your business. So I actually think that that's the biggest priority. But I go through phases where, like, have you guys ever read the book, The Miracle Morning?
Yeah. Hal Elrod.
Yeah. So when I read that book, I mean, I was hopping out of bed at 5 a.m. and, like, you know, meditating and journaling and exercising and doing all of those things. And so I was just, like, much more focused on it, but it'll come and go in waves. And I'm just in a downward spiral right now of not taking care of my health and spirituality.
That's interesting, but you know that it needs work.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
See, and so for myself with love and romance, like, I've been single for 3.5 years. And so I was like, well, I can't value what doesn't exist.
Yeah, that is interesting. Well, love and romance, I think, means either you're okay with where you are, where it's a 10, right? Because you feel like you've nurtured. I mean, I think there's self-love there as well, because I believe that you can't be happy with somebody else unless you're happy with yourself, right? Mm-hmm. You can't be in this relationship and be unhappy being alone in a room with just you.
Mm. Well, during the pandemic, I had 15 months of being alone in a room with only me.
So you're an 11.
Yeah. I mean, in terms of the financial aspect of this, in terms of, like, how I spend money on a thing like that, I get the thing that I came up with was, I guess, the money that I spend on, like, beauty and fashion, the money that I spend, like, attempting to be hot, would sort of be money that's, like, trying to, you know, would be, like, what I would assign to the love and romance category. It's like the money that I spend trying to get a date. That's all I could come up with in terms of how I spend money in that category.
Well, coming up, we've got the second half of this discussion where we're going to bring money into it. But first, this episode is sponsored by State Farm. You, a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Well, look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers. They're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today. Hey, Staggers, it's Military Appreciation Month. You know what that means. We are recognizing all of our stackers in the audience. My good friend Nortz, Doug Nordman, who some of you may know, he is a writer in personal finance. He's a guy I'd like to do a shout out to. He is such a giving member of the FIRE community, the Financial Independence Retire Early community. Nords will do anything for you. It's just, I think some of that comes from his time on a submarine, like my nephew Colin, who's on a submarine right now, and all the work that he did there. Just a super giving member of the community. And you know what? A Navy Federal Credit Union wants to celebrate their members who go above and beyond, not this month, but every month. Navy Federal offers members only exclusive rates, discounts, and tools to empower their members and help them reach their goals. Here's one of their offers in honor of Military Appreciation Month. Join and get $50 when you open a credit card. Of course, you want to have your whole debt strategy planned out, don't you? Don't just go open a credit card willy-nilly, as mom says. Here's a disclaimer. You got to join and open your membership savings account between May 1st and May 31st. So get on it, stackers. Annual percentage yield is 0.25% for membership savings account. $5 minimum balance to open. Maintain your membership savings account to obtain the bonus. Visit NavyFederal.org for full terms and conditions. That's just one of the things. They offer 24/7 help for their U.S.-based service members. They have resources all over the place. Head to NavyFederal.org for full terms, conditions, and other offers. Navy Federal is insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Lender. Well, if you're new to Stacking Benjamins, you may not know that I've tried out a lot of personal finance apps. I like to be a guinea pig and try out all these things. So I know what I'm talking about when it comes to what's helpful and what isn't helpful. And the app that I've used the longest has been Monarch Money. And it's because Cheryl and I, my spouse, were able to collaborate together. We can work on our goals together, and our budget and our goals are right next to each other on the app. It is clearly the next generation of personal finance app. So what is it? Monarch is the top-rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. You create custom budgets, track progress toward financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now, because you're a stacker, you'll get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/Benjamins. I love the fact that we get to collaborate. I love the fact that it's customizable. And I also love that it's this ad-free privacy you can trust. They never sell your data to third parties or show you ads. After trying out Monarch myself, I totally get why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, because you're a stacker, you're going to get an extended 30-day free trial to try it out like I try out many different apps. And this one was sticky for me because, well, you'll see when you try out the 30-day free trial. Go to monarchmoney.com/Benjamins. That's monarchmoney.com/Benjamins for your extended 30-day free trial. Hey, guess what, everybody? It's that time. We have a year-long competition going on between our three regular competitors, Len, Paula, and OG. Today, Kyle, you are the honorary OG, so congratulations. Do you want the good news or the bad news, Kyle?
I will take the bad news first, but it's an honor to stand in for OG, a fellow Wolverine.
We were going to bypass that whole thing. We were going to be nice to each other for the entire episode, and we only made it halfway before you had to go to Ann Arbor. Oh, man, excuse me. Well, I throw up in my mouth a little bit. No, I'm joking. The bad news, Kyle, is that both you and your fellow Wolverine OG are winning. By the way, that's also the good news, but the bad news is that means you're going to lead off this competition after Diana reads our trivia. So you're going to be going first. Paula, good news for you. You are in second with 11. OG is 13. You have 11. What the hell, Paula, are you doing with 11?
I know, right? Yeah, my score's improving. I might win this year.
And speaking of what the hell, Len's our two-time champion sitting at 9. What are you doing 4 behind, Mr. Penzo?
Well, I think I've given a big enough handicap to everybody. So I'm going to get serious starting right now.
Oh, here it is. And by right now, Diana, you ready to do this thing?
Absolutely.
All right, here we go. Diana's going to bring us some trivia. Let's do this.
Hey, stackers. I'm Joe's mom's cousin, Diana, sitting in while Doug is out doing something, probably herding the neighborhood cats. Which is funny because I told him last time that if you're herding cats, just try to get our round table to agree on a topic. Speaking of disagreement, let's see how widely we can disagree on this trivia question. Non-fungible tokens have been in the news big time again lately with some eye-popping results. These tokens, which help prove ownership of assets, are the latest and hottest thing since Joe's mom's first introduced her Singapore sling drinks to the Bridge Club. NFTs are so hot. Come on, Fireside. NFTs are so hot.
How hot are they?
Hot are they?
NFTs are so hot that even Jack Dorsey, the co-founder and CEO of Twitter's first tweet, now an NFT, sold for an eye-popping amount, which is how many American dollars? I'll be back with the answer as soon as we hear our contestants throw darts at this question.
All right. And there you've got it, guys. So, Kyle, unfortunately, you got to go first. Jack Dorsey's tweet as an NFT, how much did it sell for?
Wow. See, normally when I listen to this, I have the benefit of hearing Len's rationalizing and going through all of the different options. Yeah, Len, you could just go ahead and give the thinking out loud while I think of my answer. But boy, I have no idea. I actually just started getting active on Twitter myself literally about a month ago. And so it's not a platform.
I saw that you've had fun with it too.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I have a lot of fun. And it's interesting. I've been missing out, but what would I pay for the first tweet that number, I can assure you, is far, far lower than what what the actual answer will be. The only strategic thing I can think of is to not do a round number, so that when Len and Paula are trying to go above and below me, they'll have a little more trouble remembering. So I'm going to go with 1,525,436 dollars.
436. A nice round number, Kyle, as you said. Yes. All right, Paula, do something with that. What are you thinking?
So my thinking is, all right, let's see. Now the difficult part is that I need a number, because Len is going to Chelsea Brennan, one of us.
You got it. You got it, girl.
So I need to pick a number that makes Len's job Chelsea Brennaning as difficult as possible.
Yes.
Which means, okay, 12.1 million.
$12.1 million. Dollars. That's a big number, Paula.
No freaking
it is.
Way.
It is. Now Len has to decide whether he wants to capture the upside or the downside. Have fun, Len.
Isn't that, Paula, where you go, blah.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, Mr. Penzo.
You know, that's pretty smart, because now, okay, well, it's got to be, you said what, Paula, 12 million?
12.1.
There's no freaking way. I will, if it's 10 million or more, I will, I'll eat a bug. I will eat a bug.
Really?
There's no freaking
way.
Wait, when, Len, when am I going to see you next?
There's no freaking way an NFT sold for $10 million. I don't care who it is.
What kind of bug?
Your choice, Paula.
What's a good tasting bug? Aren't crickets good?
Crickets are good. Crickets are a high source of protein.
Can it be a chocolate covered cricket?
Oh, that's too weak.
Just in case
that's
I'm
too
wrong.
Weak. It's got to hurt.
Len, when I'm in LA, can I do an Instagram live while you're doing that? I feel like I'm trying to get my social media up here between you and Paula.
I'll eat a cricket.
All right.
That's okay. As far as I'm going.
All right. But you still got to give us a number.
Okay. And I take back what I said earlier. I don't think Len's musings would have been helpful at all for me.
Well, let's see. Okay. So 12.1 and 1.5, somewhere in the middle. There's no freaking way I don't even think Paula's in the ballpark. I think she's way out. I'm going to say, 4 million.
$4 million. Well, guess what? One of the three of you is right, and we'd love to tell you who's right, but we don't play that way. We're going to be right back. Kyle, you kick this off, and I think that Paula and Len both thought you were pretty low at your 1,525,436, which, by the way, Kyle, also, I would love it if you were right on with that number.
Actually right on, that would be a sure sign I had Googled it.
But Paula, 12.1, Len thinks you're way too high. What do you think?
I am kind of shocked that he didn't Chelsea Brennan either of us.
I know.
And I'm actually feeling pretty good, because by virtue of him choosing the 4 million number, that gives me everything from 8 upwards.
Gives you a lot of room.
Yeah.
And Len, 4 million?
Well, I know it's got to be over a million. It has to be. But 10 million or 12 million, there's no freaking way. And I'm good with my number.
Well, guess what?
I think it's a good number.
We're about to find out who's got the good number. Diana, here we go.
Hey there, trivia fans. I'm Joe's mom's cousin, Diana, back with your trivia answer. NFTs have been so hot. Oh, come on.
How hot are they?
NFTs have been so hot.
How hot are they? Oh, I thought we had to do it the second time.
They almost called Doug just to be around something shady. They're so hot that they're all wearing sweatpants. They're so hot that if they were a thermometer, they'd just read, "Are you kidding me?" They're so hot that if they were frozen pizza, They'd be ready to eat by the time they got home. Enough? Okay. I'll stop this comedy gold only to give you the answer. So Jack Dorsey's first tweet sold for an eye-popping amount that luckily is less than 280 characters. So you can tweet the answer to friends. But it's still not far off. Dorsey's first tweet, including commas and the dollar sign, would take 10 characters because it went for $2.9 million. And that means that Len Penzo is the winner.
I did?
Yes.
I don't think is.
I was worried it, and, that was close. I cut that too close.
Well, it's the closest one, right? It's not like closest without going over. It's like the closest to the number.
Yes.
Which would mean Len.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. 2.9. Len, back, getting back in the game. What's up with that?
You know what? In retrospect, I should have Chelsea, Brennan, Kyle. But just to be safe, that was kind of, Paula's right. I kind of screwed up there, but I lucked out. Very good.
Len getting back in the game, making
double
it close.
Digits. I yes. mean, double digits.
And now Len, only 1 point behind Paula. The plot thickens.
I'm coming for you, Paula.
Yes.
I'm coming for you.
I know that everybody is sitting on the edge of their seat waiting for next week for this segment. They can't wait. They could be here on Fireside with us next Monday at 5 p.m. Eastern to see who does it. Now to the second half of our discussion. This half is brought to you by Magnify Money. Kyle, you know what happens when you go to stackingbenjamins.com/magnify money?
But under magnifier and becomes much larger.
that's so great. Close, very close. If it were horseshoes or cornhole, you may be close, but not quite there. You'll find that 92% of the products that are out there online all rated against each other, and those banking products like savings accounts, checking accounts, CDs that you use at the traditional brick and mortar bank, probably not the best. So go rate and see how much better you can do by going to stackingbenjamins.com/magnify money. And they have been a longtime sponsor of the show, and there's one reason for that. And that's because my savings account through Ally came from them. Whenever I've had issues with a bank, and I've had them on two separate occasions, I immediately go to Magnify Money, find a better bank, and bam, super easy. Not only do they rate them, but they also have ratings of them. StackyBenjamins.com/magnify money. All right. Second half of this show, we're going to be talking about your money and aligning your money with those values that you have. But first, I'm going to invite our friend Chris Luger on stage. So I'm so happy that we've got Chris here.
How you doing, everyone?
Good. Chris, how are you, man?
Yeah, I'm doing well, man.
Yeah. So you had a comment about the love and romance piece here.
Yeah, it is weird. And, you know, you mentioned, or someone just mentioned, you know, as you get to that point where you're at that life transition. So I'm divorced, empty nester. My kids are all grown, you know, 19 and 21. They're out doing their own thing. And it is kind of lonely, right? So looking at where you spend your money, similar to kind of what Paula said, right? And actually blogged about this. I look at it as spending money as investing in your relationship, you know? So it's like, if you spend that money on going on a date, you spend that money on self-care to you know, whether it's going to the gym, nice clothes for a date or whatever, it's kind of like investing in yourself, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the way I kind of look at it.
Chris, while you're here, I want you to help us kick off this second half of the discussion, which is we have these eight areas of personal development around this wheel, and I'll walk through them again with everybody. Business and career, money, health, friends and family, love and romance, personal development, fun and relaxation, personal and spiritual growth. When you think about those with your money, where do you feel like the amount of money that you're spending on one of those areas really isn't lining up with your value system?
Probably health, right? Yeah. Probably like, you know, if I was serious about it and intentional, I probably could, you know, get a gym membership, get a personal trainer. I mean, be serious about it. So definitely probably that's the one that I'm not investing where I should.
Yeah. And the one where you feel like you're really rocking it?
Probably to your point, Joe, probably a little overzealous on the personal development side.
Oh yeah.
Like I'm just constantly sucking up, you know, new books, new classes, new, you know, whatever, you know.
I think that's part of being a blogger, right? Is that you're kind of a junkie for that stuff.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, agreed. Well, thanks for hanging out, Chris. I really appreciate you. Yeah.
Thank you.
Len, let's go to you, man. Next. What did you find when you did this?
I found that I could spend more on health and love and romance, and I could spend less on fun and relaxation.
By could, by the way, I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut you off, but by could, I want to define that. Do you mean that you probably should?
Yes.
Okay, gotcha.
Yes. And then the other one is the money, which to me was a kind of a nebulous money. To me, money meant the money you're setting away for your savings or the stuff you're putting into savings, your retirement accounts, and other types of investments. And looking at it right now, I'm putting the vast majority of the cash the household is earning, it's going into those things. And I believe I can definitely, between that and the money spent on, quote, fun and relaxation, we can pull back from those and add to the other two where I'm light.
That's funny because we interpreted money in two different ways. I interpreted money as being spending money on things like Kyle's book, right? On becoming better with your money. Things that you do to be more focused on money.
See, to me, that's personal growth.
Personal development.
That's where I would put that.
Gotcha.
So,
Paula, how about you? Did you find any areas where they were out of alignment?
Well, so with the money category specifically, I ranked money as a fairly low priority for me right now, but I interpreted the spending money on money. I interpreted that to mean the amount of money that I put into investments.
So you interpret it like Len, saving money too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's very high. So in that regard, there was a mismatch. And if I looked at that mismatch literally, then the conclusion would be why I shouldn't save and invest so much. But I think that the reason that I can put a low cognitive and emotional priority on money is because of the reassurance that comes from knowing that I have my investments well-funded and locked in. So I think that if I were to spend less money on money, then money would become mentally more dominant.
Right. So even though it isn't a priority right now, you fear that it will be a priority later and it won't be there.
Exactly. Yeah. Like spending so much money on investments enables me to view money as a low priority at a cognitive and emotional level.
My roommate in college, Paula, he saved a ton of money early. And this is not a direct quote, but this is his thinking, because he hates saving. He can't stand saving. And he's like, so if I get all this crap out of the way early, I won't have to do it later.
I get that. That makes sense. And that's wise.
Yeah. Know? Super.
Front load the work.
You know, I don't know. Do you think that now, maybe this is just me, but when I'm looking back at my life, that for me, the priority or the amount, it actually has gone up as I've gotten closer to retirement.
Oh.
My attention to detail has gotten a lot more focused the closer I've got to the end of my working career.
Is there a fear there though, Len, like it's 3 days before the big exam and even though you're ready for it?
Yes, exactly what it is.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That's like the day before the trip and you're sure you forgot something.
I've got to get this right. Yep, exactly.
Kyle, when it came to your money, where did you find misalignment?
Yeah, I mean, I found I was aligned in most places, but the two categories where it wasn't really aligned is, one is the fun and relaxation that I don't spend that much. I've got a group of friends I used to kayak with, and we've been talking for years about doing another kayaking trip, and it just keeps getting put off. And that's the place where I think one of the things that always comes up is how expensive a trip might be. And we just have to make it happen.
I wonder if there's a middle ground there. You know, if there's a, maybe we don't go on the expensive kayaking trip, but maybe there's a way to meet them halfway.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there are ways to do that. And so maybe we'll find a good location, but drink cheap beer instead of craft brew.
See, that's the part that is a no-go for me.
Yes. Yeah. I know I say that, but even as the words came out of my mouth, I realized I would never make that compromise.
There are people yelling at their device going, "You're from Vermont, man. Come on. You can't drink crap beer. What are you doing?"
So the other area I marked where I had a misalignment is business and career. That I part of that is I'm fairly happy with where I am in my legal career, but it's an area I've never really spent a lot of money on, with the exception of the enormous tuition bills for going to law school. But I guess I don't think as much about that because I'm one of the few people who has actually successfully made it through public service loan forgiveness. And so I never ended up paying for the vast majority of my law school bills.
Boy, you are one of the few. We got to have you back on to talk about how the hell you did that, because if I feel like nobody gets that done.
Yeah, it is not an easy path, that's for sure. But you know, other expenses for business and career, I think of things like just business clothes. And I have a story in my book about a time I was going to an interview and I called the dry cleaning place and they said it was going to be $20 to clean my suit jacket. And I thought that was a little exorbitant. And so I hopped on Google and figured out how to hand wash my suit jacket in the bathtub. And then it gets much worse from there. You're not supposed to hang it up. And so I laid it down on towels on the floor and it was a hot day. So of course our dog came over and found this to be the perfect cool place to lie down.
Perfect.
Yep. And then at that point I decided I'd just deal with hanging it up and maybe the shoulders would get messed up from the hanger, but it was better than letting my dog keep laying on it. And I was cooking baked fish that night and I opened the oven and I see the smoke from the oven go directly up into the suit jacket hanging by the stove.
So you look great and you smell like fish.
Yeah. That was a time when I would have benefited from a remote interview.
Well, that's why. But I think obviously the reason you tell that story in your book is that I was the same way. I wore these shoes that were these plastic cheap shoes because I thought, you know, what's the difference? I'll wear these cheap shoes from Payless. And I remember, you know, and I was managing not a ton of money, but also not a small amount of money for other people. And when I finally stopped wearing those shoes and I got not a expensive pair of shoes, but a decent pair of shoes, I remember three different people stopped me in the hall and said, "Man, it's about time you stopped wearing those cheap shoes. You just look like crap in those." Like nobody told me the whole time I was in them that I look bad. But then I realized that I had to spend a little bit. You know, I don't trust people who are overdressed, you know, who look too slick. But I had to have a certain level. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Although in Vermont, hiking boots are considered to be dress shoes.
It's a different. Yeah. But aren't you looking for the expensive hiking boots? Is that the deal in Vermont?
Yeah. Yeah. They have to be very fancy hiking boots.
That's right. When it came to your expenses, Diana, how about you?
You know, what I thought was so interesting about this exercise and looking at how I spend money and how it aligns with these values and where I stand on each of them, I didn't feel like I need to spend more money anywhere. I feel like I need to spend more time and energy on some of these areas, you know, because even like I talked about the personal and spiritual growth. I mean, that miracle morning routine, even that book, I read it from the library. So I spent nothing. It cost me nothing to meditate and journal. And, you know, I worked out at home. So I think for me, it's not so much about spending more money, but realigning other resources of time and energy, which in many ways are as important as money. You know, there's a balance between those three resources.
No, agreed. And that's why I like the two-parter of this, right? I think the first half is spending more time because it's what you value. And then the second half is spending more money. I found it's interesting that Len thought time-wise, he's spending the right amount of time in his relationship, but money-wise, he could maybe up it for the honeybee. And instead of doing the BK drive-through together, Len, you're maybe going to go, you know, to Denny's or something.
Well, yeah, and we'll go into that. I mean, that's what Kyle said about making an investment, right? It's an investment, and that's, you know, everything's cool, but you know what? It's worth taking that investment and upping it, you know. Get
well, what's her love language, Lynn?
We'll talk about that off.
That's a whole different show, Diana. Absolutely. Well, I'd love to get just a quick takeaway from each of you just when it comes to this exercise. And Paula, we'll start with you because it sounds like this type of stuff you do regularly. But a big takeaway just for our listeners on doing this type of an exercise.
I'd say, well, two takeaways. One is that many of these things don't fit neatly into categories. And so if you go through an exercise like this, make sure that you take the time to write down what types of things, what your assumptions are about what's included in each category, particularly if you're then going to discuss this with
a podcast
friend, or a podcast audience, so that way everyone can be clear about what they're talking about when they talk about each category. That's one of the takeaways.
But I think a takeaway there too, which is an offshoot for me, is be clear with yourself and be specific about the things you're going to do. Because I find it's easy to just apply truisms, just go, oh, I'm going to spend more time there. Well, if you're not specific and intentional about it, you're not going to do it. Your second one?
Oh, the second takeaway is the idea that if you find a misalignment between money and what you value, sometimes it isn't that you need to start spending less in certain areas. Sometimes it's just that you need to start spending more, and then it's more time, more money, more energy, more attention.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think one sometimes begets the other.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Len, how about you, man?
Well, mine is, you know, you can be satisfied and be overspending. I mean, you could be satisfied and think, hey, everything's cool, but when you use this wheel, it is very possible that you're still overspending, and you could be using that money that you're overspending on that one particular area to put it towards areas where maybe you're not quite as satisfied and you can improve that. And the other thing is, just because you might be satisfied at one level, say a level 5 on a scale of 1 to 10, doesn't mean you can't spend a little more and get that, push that satisfaction level up even higher. So
That's great. I love this idea of overspending, and we didn't even touch on that you might be over budget in an area. It could still be a 10. And yet, like, you see these people, contrary to what you're doing, Len, when you talk about love and romance, sometimes people are spending thousands and thousands of dollars where, to Diana's point about love language, maybe your spouse, your romantic partner, whoever it is, your friend would be happy with a smaller experience.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Kyle, you've got the last word, man. What's the takeaway?
Yeah, well, one is that I think everyone needs to actually sit down and think more about these than they do. I say everyone, clearly Paula doesn't. She said she's already got all this figured out, but I sure learned a lot from doing this exercise. You know, I think there's a saying about how every budget, whether it's a personal budget, a legislative budget, is a value statement, and where you put your money is, and what it's supporting is something that people need to think about. And it is something that our family, I think, does a good job of. And I think there are a couple of categories. The two that jump out at me are education and experiences, where you really don't tend to regret putting money into things like that. And so I think that's a place where you can line up your values with what you're spending on. And the more people do that and spend money on real meaningful things and not on things that support causes they don't believe in, I think the better the world will be.
That's going to do it for today, everybody. Let's find out what's happening where you live. Len, let's have you go. I was going to have Paula go, which I like to do.
No, I don't like to follow. She has a Nobel Prize winner or an ex-president on her show. And I have to follow that with some stupid.
Which ex-president do you have, Len?
Yeah, right. Would we go over this week at lenpenzo.com? especially, it's a darn good thing that I'm not following. $2 bill, fun facts about the $2 bill at lenpenzo.com. Stuff that I know all of you out there are just dying to know.
the hard-hitting stuff. Little known fact.
It's my niche. This is my niche, Joe.
Little known fact, the Wall Street Journal was all over that story, and Len scooped them. Got there before they did. Paula, what's going on at Afford Anything, at that amazing podcast, Afford Anything?
So on the Afford Anything podcast, we are running 4 episodes during the month of September that follow the 4 pillars of FIRE. So F, financial psychology, I, investing, R, real estate, and E, entrepreneurship. So once each week for 4 weeks, we run one of our best episodes from our archives that follows each of those 4, that is based around each of those 4 themes.
Oh, nice.
So that's the Afford Anything podcast, available wherever finer podcasts are downloaded.
Only. I thought the E in FIRE was early.
It's the new interpretation of FIRE.
Yes.
Oh.
It's the Paula Pant FIRE.
Okay. Yeah. I guess you couldn't really do a show on early. I mean,
That's right. Paula's original. Is original. She doesn't do what everybody else does with early. She's got her own FIRE.
We'll talk
acronym.
After the show. I got to get some lessons.
Kyle, thanks for hanging out with us, man.
Yeah, it was a blast. I really enjoyed being here. It's a great podcast and had a lot of fun talking with everyone.
Well, and I got to say, for a Wolverine, you're an okay guy. I just, you know, it's fantastic. The book, Personal Finance and Investing, How Anyone Can Make More, Spend Less, and Invest Wisely. Where does everybody get it?
The paperback and hardcover are available everywhere. And the ebook is now going to be available everywhere as well. It started out exclusive to Amazon, but it's now available any place you get an ebook. And you can reach me at my website, personalfinanceauthor.com, or on Twitter at PFAuthor.
You also have some extras there and links to everything, I noticed.
Yeah, I have a checklist of 17 ways to get free money, and that's available on my website, and I try to keep that up to date. And it's actual free money. It's not one of those spend a lot of money on something to 10 years later get more money. It's real tips for getting more money in your bank account.
And so nice job. Well, thanks for hanging out with us, man. I appreciate it. That's going to do it for today, everyone. Diana, you've got it from here, my friend. What should we have learned today?
So, what should we have learned today? First, have you thought about your life in a rounded way? Use a tool like our wheel, and you can get yours at stackingbenjamins.com/wheel to help you make better decisions about life's priorities. Second, be specific and intentional about what you're going to do for each area of your wheel. And keep in mind that your spending might need to increase or decrease in each area. But the big lesson? If Jack Dorsey's first tweet went for $2.9 million, imagine how much Kyle's book would be worth if it were at NFT. Kyle, time to rethink this publishing idea, man. Make your book an NFT and the world will be all over it. Thanks to our team behind the scenes for putting together today's show. Karen Repine is our producer, Taylor Stevens is our writer, and Mom's friend Gertrude created the link for you to download your own wheel. Head to stackingbenjamins.com/wheel to try it yourself. And thanks to Paula Pant for joining the fun today. You'll find her podcast, Afford Anything, wherever you're listening to us now. Thanks also to Len Penzo for pitching in. You'll find Len's award-winning musings at the aptly named lenpenzo.com. And finally, thanks to Kyle Landis Marinello for joining us. You'll find Kyle's book, Personal Finance and Investing, How Anyone Can Make More, Spend Less, and Invest Wisely at Amazon.com, or ask your local bookstore to carry it. And better yet, head to Kyle's website, personalfinanceauthor.com, for extras and all the links to everything personal finance and investing.
By the way, you got his name right twice, by the way.
Did nice. I actually get it right? I still think I'm saying it wrong.
Nice job.
Okay. You got it right.
Okay, perfect. I said finally, but of course there's one more piece of goodness, and probably the best of all. I'm Joe's mom's cousin, Diana, and how would you like to hang out with me, Joe, Paula, and a bunch of other like-minded people? Come join us at the Economy Conference, which is an event for people exploring better ways to achieve the American dream. It's also been described as a party about money, so you know it's going to be a good time. We're kicking it off on Friday, November 12th with a live Stacking Benjamins recording. You'll also get to enjoy main stage speakers like Bitches Get Riches, Rich Jones from Paychecks and Balances, Carl Jensen, also known as Mr. 1500, and many more. It's coming up on November 13th and 14th in Cincinnati, and you'll find tickets and all the details at economyconference.com.
Welcome to the after show. This is the part of the show that doesn't exist. If you're new to the after show, here's the rules. Nothing in the show notes, no links. What we talk about in the after show stays in the after show. And I thought we'd just have a little short discussion today. We talked about the wheel, and I want to talk about some time that you maybe reinvented the wheel. Is there a time when you did something the absolute hardest way possible instead of taking the easy way? And I'll tell you one time that I did it back when I was a financial planner. Well, you guys are thinking of anything that you might have, but there was a special laddered certificate that some of my clients had, and it would get this bonus interest that would get higher if you save more. So for people that had trouble saving, it was a great way to incentivize them to continue to save money. And it wasn't a monster interest rate, but it definitely helped people that struggled plant the seed. So I recommended it a fair amount early in my career. Well, one time, maybe about 2.5 years into my career, and I'm telling these people, and it's funny because I still remember their name, and this was a long, long time ago, Greg and Kathy. And I said, Greg and Kathy, look at how well you're doing. They're like, yeah, that interest rate looks really good. And I said, yeah. And I take out my HP 12C, this complex calculator, and I'm working through it and I'm figuring out the number. And I said, yeah, the interest rate on this is 4.1%. And Greg leans over and he said, you mean the 4.17 it says right here on the statement next to the certificate? I must've taken a good, I don't know, 8 to 10 minutes in front of them proving I could use my calculator when all I had to do was, yeah, read. Paula, how about you? Anytime you've reinvented the wheel?
I mean, that's a very specific example. What came to mind when you asked that question wasn't something that was so isolated or specific, but rather big picture. Like everything I've ever done in my life, I've basically reinvented the wheel. I mean, everything, like from investing, from figuring out how to have a career and be an adult, to investing in real estate, to learning how to put a duvet cover inside of one of those a duvet cover, like literally everything.
Those things drive me crazy, by the way. They still drive me crazy.
And do you know how to fit a folded sheet? How to fold a fitted sheet? How to ask that question? How to fold a fitted sheet?
I've watched the YouTube video like 16 times, and I still suck at it.
How do you fold feta cheese?
Is that what you're trying to say, Paula?
Yes. How do you fold some feta cheese into a fitted sheet and stuff it into a duvet cover?
That's right. Feta cheese over your Landis marinello sauce.
This is going to be a great piece of baklava. It'd be
absolutely fantastic. Kyle or Len, you guys got one?
I can hop in. When we had our first kid, I had read a book about how kids learn language faster if you do sign language. And so my partner and I both tried to learn all the sign language we could. And every time we opened up a book, we would first put the book down and put our hands together like you're praying. And then you open them up like a book opening up, because that's the sign for book. And we did that and all these other signs and had to basically learn this new language ourselves. And when our daughter was 10 months old, I have her in a baby carrier and I'm rocking her around trying to get her to sleep. And she's trying to procrastinate actually taking a nap. And so she knows I love reading books to her, and she reaches her hand out of the carrier and points at the bookshelf, and she doesn't do the sign that we had been working on forever. She says book. I realized we could have just been talking to her this whole time.
That's funny you say that. We called my daughter, you know, they were twins. We called my daughter research and development, because when we'd lay them on the floor, my daughter would spend all this time trying to roll over. Remember when your kids would try to roll over for the first time? Yeah. And she tries and she tries and she tries and she doesn't get it. And finally, after days, she finally does it. My son would just lay there drooling next to her, just watching her trying this. And the second she flips over, he just flips over. And then she would try to pull herself up to the table, you know, to stand up, and she'd fall down. She'd try to stand up, fall down, try to stand up. She pulls herself up one day. Nick went from not even trying to standing up right next to her. So Autumn's nickname was always R&D for that reason. Yeah. Good stuff. Len, do you got one?
I got a lame one. This is a lame one. So,
well, then why are we doing it? What are we doing?
I don't know. Hey, what the heck? You know, like when you make strawberry shortcake or, and you have to hull the strawberry and you got to take the little green thing off the top of the strawberry, because you don't want those in your strawberry shortcake, right?
Yeah.
Well, there's a, you know, for years I would cut the, you know, I'd slice off all the, painstakingly slice off all the green tops of the strawberry. Well, somebody showed me that all you have to do is you take a straw and you shove it at the bottom of the strawberry and then you push up and it perfectly holds the strawberry and it removes the green stuff at the
really
top.
See, I didn't know that.
It's perfect.
That's not lame and at all. Quick. That's cool.
It's quick.
So you just drink a straw and bam, 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 bam.
Yep. You get it all done. You get a whole thing of strawberries done in, like, you know, just in no time.
You're a genius, Mr. Penzo.
Yes, I am.
Well, yes. Well, Stackers, the show is over, but the party is just beginning here. You know why? Because it's Military Appreciation Month, and we are giving out shout outs to all of our friends who have served in the military. And let's point the finger right here at our good friend OG, who spent time in the military. And of course, we know what a giver he is, even when he pretends like he's being Mr. Surly. Navy Federal offers member-only exclusive rates, discounts, and tools to empower their members to help them reach their goals. Visit NavyFederal.org/celebrate, and you'll see all their Military Appreciation Month offers and other Navy Federal offers. They've got all kinds of resources on their site, like Best Cities After Service to help veterans transition to civilian life, and Best Careers for Military Spouses to support military families. So much going on. Just head over to NavyFederal.org/celebrate and take a look at all the Military Appreciation Month offers and their usual offers. Navy Federal, our members are the mission. Navy Federal is insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Lender.